It's also how I it's also how I record it.
Oh.
Like I have to join it from my computer to record
TJ
it.
TJ joining the spaces that we can put the ship up. What a champion.
Had to hear it back a little bit. All right, we'll let a couple of people get in here. We're going to do something somewhat fun tonight. Hopefully it's fun for you guys. We're going to review something. Let me share this in a couple of groups and see if anybody wants to hang out.
Let them know.
If nobody does, we'll just do our own thing. If nobody wants to hang out, then screw them, right?
Then you're dead to us.
Oh, man. Let's see here. Share it there. Let's see if I can find the other bourbon chat, the one I cheat on you in.
Whoa, there's a side bourbon chat?
No, it's just a maxed out bourbon chat. Like you can only have so many people in the one.
So popular.
Sorry, Brendan, I'm in it.
Oh, Ben, your living room looks exquisitely clean and vibrant today.
It is. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy for 9 p.m. or 8 p.m. for you to have that much sunlight coming in.
Southern exposure.
Yeah. I live in the South.
All right. Tag somebody and get them in here. Share this for us. Do us a favor. Let's hang out for a little bit. So for those that don't know, maybe this is your first time tuning in. Maybe you know who we are. Maybe you don't. If not, we're not a very big deal. Brendan's a big deal, and we're just kind of here for him. But we do live shows on Monday nights on everything. Facebook, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Then that comes out on Tuesday mornings as a podcast. We don't typically do reviews live. We typically record our reviews before we put that main show out. Tonight, we're going to do our review live. It's live audio. The video will come out on Thursday, but we thought we'd kind of make this interactive. If people had questions for us while we're reviewing it, if they want to know anything, if they want to ask anything while we're doing our review, we're happy to answer it. Shoot us a message, request to speak. Got to kind of do it rapid fire because we are going to try and get through the review, but excited about doing this live for the first time. And again, it will be on YouTube later. It'll be on SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast. But
there's a singular do.
This just in, Maker's Mark good, more at 11. Thank you for your Twitter comments, Pasty Pops. Shout out anybody that tweets at us while we're trying to do this. All right. All right, we'll get going. 3, 2, 1. Cheers, everybody. This is TJ Pittenger for Bourbon on a Budget. I've got Brendan Sinone and Ben Cock with me, and we are reviewing Maker's Mark, FAE02. It's their second release, correct, of the limited release, the wood finishing series. What was last year? FAE01.
Well, that was the first one of this year's FAE01. I can't remember the 2021. What was called the 2019 was like RC6. So yeah, they'll do They do one each year.
So we have FAE02.
Naming conventions are complete garbage.
Don't say that.
R2-D2. Ben and I did not love the FAE01. Wasn't terrible, but didn't think it was amazing. Brendan did a rapid review on this and thought it was much better. So excited to try this. Brendan's never let me down before in my life, so I'm sure he won't now. If Brendan's ever let you down in your life, please let us know how and why and when, and we'll chastise him. But Brendan, do you want to tell us about this as we get started?
Sure. So this is, again, the second of the two limited releases that Maker's Mark has this year. They started doing something a couple years ago with wood stave finishing. So basically they take wood staves, they put it in a barrel of their Maker's Mark standard weeded mash bill. So this is a heavy wheat mash bill. And they've been messing around with different types of wood finishing in this wood finishing series. There's the Maker's 46 and then the Maker's 46 cast strength. There's the store picks. What are the name of the store picks, guys? Always the private select.
Yeah, there's the stave profile.
Yeah, so they experiment with different types of stave profiles, like different types of wood that are seasoned or I was going to say flamed. They're not flamed.
Charred.
That's the – thank you, Ben.
Flamed?
Like, flame broiled.
Flame broiled.
flame broiled, waffle
very
steaks.
Charred or toasted in some ways. So this is going to be 10 virgin toasted French oak staves, and this is proofed at 109.1. So nice hefty 54.55 alcohol volume, and the tasting notes on this, according to makers, is a texture-forward expression that's full-bodied, mouthfeel, with notes of toasted oak and a rich, creamy finish. So they are going for the mouthfeel on this. That's going to be referenced a lot on this one. So yeah, this was about a shade under $80 for me, so not cheap whiskey by any means. I think MSRP is about $70 against a limited release. So I think as we judge this and we go over our grading system, we're really going to try to say whether this is worth the money. That's the whole point of bourbon on a budget. But just know this is a limited edition special release, so it's going to be a little bit more than our normal bourbon budget.
All right, let's jump into it. Ben, for those that don't know or maybe aren't on social media a ton, Ben's the best part of the show. Even though he doesn't understand how social media works, he's still the best part of this show. So hopefully you guys enjoy him. Ben, talk to us about – well, before we do this, we judge five different things with our reviews. For people maybe new listening, we try to be pretty specific. We judge the nose. We judge the taste. We judge how something finishes. We judge how cohesive or complex it is. And then we judge it, all of that, based on a value scale. Value not being only dollar amounts. We sometimes do, or we can factor anything in. Price, proof, availability, things like that. Uniqueness all kind of go into value. So we start with nose. Ben, what are you getting on the nose on this thing?
So right off the bat, I get a lot of pretty heavy chocolate, maple syrup. Definitely like a more return to, like Brennan was saying, the traditional Maker's Mark maple syrup pancakes kind of profile. I find it interesting, though, that Brennan, you say that all of the staves were just, it was just 10 of the same stave. They didn't choose any kind of mixture.
Correct. 10 virgin toasted French oak staves. So normally with the private select, they're going to mix and match with the different types of flame charred staves. So this is all toasted.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess, yeah, with the whole entire like full bodied approach, you'd get a little bit of marshmallow with the toast, but I'm not getting much on the nose. It's mostly like chocolate and pancakes.
Chocolate,
maybe
pancakes.
Some cinnamon. Yeah,
that's a nice combination right off the bat there. I would say I'm getting a lot of, we learned this the other day, what a stone fruit actually is. Stone fruit. Mm-hmm. A lot of cherries. When I was exploring this the other day for the review we did on YouTube, or I did on YouTube by myself, Joe Decadence, friend of the show, said I had way too many smelling notes, but I got mango on. I got a little hint of like tropical mango there. In addition to the weeded, you know, pancake and chocolate and cherry as well, which are more standard notes.
Definitely some cherry there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ton of syrup, ton of caramel, weeded, bready. I do like the cherry that you're adding in there. I think that's good. Yeah, this is really good. All right, on the taste. Brendan, start us off.
So first off, it starts a little, I don't want to say flat, but there's not a ton like right off the bat. But then I guess what they would call the mid palate, right? Like the first like second or so that you're exploring it, that mouthfeel that they're talking about is like legitimately really there. It coats in a really nice way. So a ton of flavor. It's very oily and thick, but in a really pleasant way. It's not overwhelming. So all that maple syrup that Ben was talking about, the milk chocolate, some of the orchard fruits like red apple and cherry as well, with stone fruit, like a lot of these standard bourbon notes and notes that are specifically unique to Maker's Mark come through just in a very intense but balanced way. And I think you get that toastiness as well from the oak staves. I think that's where that toasty starts to come through a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think that you definitely get the toast on the back end. This is just so, I mean, I also just drank something really heavy at Ben's house, but this is really easy drinking. But even at 109 proof, like, it's really right in our sweet spot, right? Where we've all kind of said, like, man, this is really where, you know, stuff that's anywhere from right around that 100 to 115 is really, really good. But Ben, what do you think on this taste?
It's actually it's pretty interesting to me. So where I get a lot of like chocolate and pancakes on the nose, on the palate, I'm getting like I'm getting more fruit, like pears, peaches, cherries, like Brendan was saying. I kind of feel like I'm missing a little bit of that chocolate.
Mango?
I'm not opposed to the mango. I eat a lot of dried mango, so in my head I'm like trying to compare that to the mango I eat often, and so it's not connecting those dots, but I'm definitely getting a fruitier profile on the palate, which is interesting because the FAE01 was supposed to be very fruit forward, and I thought that was more like berry fruit, you know, like strawberries, raspberry, but this is more of like you were saying, stone fruit, mangoes, pears, peaches. Actually, I don't think mango is a stone fruit. I could be wrong.
I think it is. Well, hang on. We'll look it up. If you're listening, is mango a stone fruit?
I don't think so.
I'm embarrassed by some. No, I agree. I get some of those fruity, but I get the chocolate too. Like I get the syrupy, the chocolate, just the standard kind of makers. The toasted, like the toast comes through, obviously, on the end. I think it's really good. This is way better than the FAE01. It's more complex. It's richer. It's sweeter. It's better. I'll say that too. Just an all-around
better. Yeah. I definitely think it's better than FAE01. I get on the finish, though, I get a little kind of like leathery note on the back end. Like a little bit of like where the sweetness kind of falls off. I get like a little leather. I like that.
And that leather and like tobacco and those darker notes were more to me the FAE01. Elliot, ooh, friend of the show, Elliot compared it to the Copenhagen chew with FAE01. I don't know if I would go that far, but definitely had a sweet tobacco vibe to it.
How do you think it finishes, Sinone?
So first off, breaking news: mango is a stone fruit. So are apricots, raspberries, technically peaches. So suck it. The finish is interesting. It's kind of like the opposite of the taste, the palate, and the mouthfeel experience for me. And by that, I mean the taste started off kind of dull, and then there's this like cornucopia of flavors. There were just so much different types of fruits, and then I also got the chocolate and the maple syrup as well, the standard maker stuff. But all the different fruits, like that Ben mentioned, like that was all pretty evident on the taste. It just took like a second to kind of ramp up. The finish, I think, as it's kind of leaving, there's this explosion at the end, and then it kind of drifts away, not slowly, it kind of wilts, and then it's just kind of mild as it finishes. So it's not anticlimactic. It doesn't quite like live up to what I hoped it would be like when you're getting the first idea of like, oh, this finish is really vibrant, and then it's just kind of, again, drifts off, which some people may enjoy. It's not as dramatic, I think, as the overall palate is.
Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree here. I would say lackluster is probably how I would categorize it. It's kind of here and there, or here and gone, you know, really quick. So it kind of falls off for me, but overall good experience, I would say, with the FAE02.
Yeah, not super, super impressed by the finish, but it's not bad. It doesn't, like, do something weird or funky. It just doesn't hold on as long as some things. Pasty Pops commented, kind of wild how in-depth y'all are going into the taste. It's crazy. I don't know how, you know, you folks listen. I know we don't have a massive crowd tonight, but you guys listening, or if you're listening to this back later, it's crazy. The more you try and the more you taste in bourbon, the more notes you start to pick up. Like when you first have bourbon, all you taste is fire, right? Like you don't taste any of this stuff.
Yeah, boiling.
You could
boiling
lava. You know, if somebody like kind of can walk you through it, Ben walked me through it on, you know, the first time I kind of like, you know, sat down and tried to enjoy bourbon, tried to point out some different tasting notes and stuff like that. But, you know, as you have more and more and more, it's crazy that the stuff you can pick up. Like we picked up everything from, you know, sweets and chocolate. This tastes bready, or this tastes like straight corn, or just whatever. You know, like you can get wild, you know, we've said bacon, we've said candied bacon, you know, smoky type stuff, like a brisket or whatever. I mean, it's just
pork belly.
It gets wild, like all of the different flavors that you can get out of one bourbon. And it's very, I'll say it's very suggestive. Like if somebody says something, you know, you sometimes will think you taste that, or that'll be something that like you start to pick up more. And it's also very, it's not only suggestive, I'm pulling my Brendan hat out here where I'm, you know, writing for a living, but it's also very subjective. There's no right taste or flavor or smell or finish or whatever. Like it's how your palate interprets it. You like that, Brendan?
I do. That was suggestive very, and subjective. It was very well crafted, the entire sentence, and very verbose of your whole wordsmithing. Yeah, I'm impressed.
Thank you. I'm on like six gummies right now, so things are wild. Whoa. Over here. No, I'm just kidding.
just
new night, really. new night, new me.
One other thing for newbies into bourbon too, is you're trying to like absorb notes and stuff. Like, allow yourself to be free with it. Like, don't feel judged. Like, just say it, and you know, we'll judge. Like, TJ will judge me, or Ben will judge me, or I'll judge them, and we'll have fun that with it. But ultimately, it's like you're trying to like pick apart like what your brain is interpreting a certain. These are all chemicals, technically. So just what your brain is remembering from a certain experience, and just kind of say it, or let yourself think it of what you're actually experiencing. And that's how you can start kind of creating I'm trying to think of the right word, like a muscle memory almost for your brain, to where it's going to be like, oh, this is this, and it'll start picking that out more easily, whatever that compound is, whatever that chemical is in the whiskey. It doesn't sound super super delicious, but that's technically what this all is. It's just different like wood tannins and stuff that you're smelling. So yeah, allow yourself to just say, this is what I think it is. And that'll help you a lot in your tasting experience.
All right. We rate this on the four or five things that we talked about. We only go through the first three when we're kind of breaking it down. But we rate these things. We give one, or we give 2 points to the nose, up to 2 points. We give up to 4 points for the taste, up to 1 point for the finish, up to 1 point for cohesiveness and complexity, and then 2 points for value. Let's rapid fire this. And then if anybody has any questions, they can ask us. Also, this is starting out Weeded Month. Happy first of the month.
Weeded Month.
Weeded Month. We're excited for that.
And shout out Weeded Month. No, don't make it weird. Shout out to Ryan Johnson. Asked us some questions last week. Shout out to the repeat space listeners. Much appreciated.
Shout out. All right. You get 2 points for nose. Ben, you're the best part of this show. Start us off.
I think I'm going 1.25.
So slightly above average for you.
Yes.
A little. That's lower than I thought it would be. I'm at 1.5, and I feel like I could have gone up on that one, but I'm at a 1.5 out of 2. I think it's well above average.
I'll make it a trifecta there. 1.25. It's not good enough to be like 1.5 is like great to me.
Take that, Brendan. I'm making a trifecta and not do the same
by
thing.
Not listening to what you're saying at all.
Oh, what did you say? What did you say?
I said 1.5, but that's okay.
Well, I was just saying a trifecta of like around the same thing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's totally how I mean
that. He's definitely not on 20 gummies right now.
Yeah, 20.
Make a trifecta.
Yeah. All right. Taste. So, no, go first so I can just copy yours and say something different.
I think the taste is the best part of this, which is usually what it should be for a bourbon, right? But this is a nice level of complexity, of sweetness, of but different types of sweetness. You get the bready, you get the fruit, you get the chocolate. Very pleasant. The mouthfeel is great. So I'm going to go with a 3 on taste first. I really, really enjoy the taste.
Yeah, I think this is really good too. I'm going to go 2.75.
But trifecta.
It's not quite. See, you did 3. I don't know if you know that or not. Ben?
Trifecta is 3.25.
Whoa! Ben, the biggest homer of all three of us.
Trifecta.
Interesting.
All right, on finish. I'll go first here. This is a 0.25.
Whoa, okay.
Brutal.
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 Brutal. Jesus. All right. No, I don't even hear his explanation. Ben, what do you got?
0.5.
Yeah, 0.5. It's... Jesus. What did you have?
0.25.
TJ, what did you have at Ben's before the sets making this so muted for you?
Single barrel strength Garrison Brothers.
Okay, there we go. Good stuff.
So, it was really good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But it's all like tobacco and leather.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys didn't nuke your palate before this with a barrel strength Texas whiskey.
I did not nuke it.
Well, Ben, you're a pro. I was just
there to smell it.
I'm sure.
I'm a pro.
That's what she said.
Agreed.
Cohesiveness and complexity. I'll give this a 0.75 easily. I think it's very cohesive. I don't think it's the most complex thing ever. 0.75 me.
TJ's drinking like just Elijah Craig right now since he's comparing it against that Garrison Brothers.
That's definitely what's happening.
Good. I can barely taste it.
It's like water.
I'm going to go 0.5 on this for me.
Whoa. I just gave it a better score than you, and you're crapping on me.
I'm not. I mean, I guess 0.75, whatever. Make it a difecta. I don't care.
Wait, 0.75? Well, yeah. I'm going to go with a 1. I don't understand you guys are. No, it is cohesive, very much so cohesive. And the way the flavor, the taste by itself just unfolds, like, I think that in itself is super unique and lends itself to being high in complexity. So 1 out of 1 for me. I'll be the homer since I paid for this bottle.
Homer.
All right. What are we up to as we get to value? Do you need me to do this, Brendan?
Your little trick that the score just shows up isn't working for me. So wait, hang on.
Math is hard, guys.
It just tells me, oh, wait, I think I got it.
Yes, it does. You just drag the thing across all of them.
I just don't understand what's supposed to be happening.
Brendan's a writer as his main job, not an Excel operator.
When I deal with analytics, I'm going off of what other people are telling me.
Yeah.
So we go into value. Ben has this at a 5.75. I have it at a 5, and Brendan has it as a 6. You guys were big homers on this. Again, we said it's about $70, right?
Yeah, MSRP. Not super readily available. You got to go looking for it a little bit. You can find it, but it's not going to be on every shelf, especially as a limited release.
I'll go 1 here on value. I think it's an average value. Actually, you know what? I'll go 1.25. I give it an above average score. It's slightly above average value. 1.25.
I will go with a 1 out of 2. I think it's an average value for, you know, this is a 6, which is a really good score, but it's an above average price. It's not easy to find. I think this is exactly what you would want. Like, if you're dropping more than $60 on a bottle of bourbon, one that you can't find everywhere, I think this is the quality that you would expect for it to be kind of unique. And be really solid. And so for us, yeah, this score is 7 out of 10 for me is definitely a buy. That's a good value. Not amazing overall, but good.
0.75 for me. I think you guys are being a little too friendly with this value. You paid $80 for this. $80. That is a lot of friggin' money. Also, the main question you're asking yourself, is this better than a store pick?
No.
You know, that's the problem. That's the freaking problem.
Definitely the problem.
You know, and so I'm saying just support a local guy that does store picks in your area and buy that. It'll be probably better. Like, they literally didn't mix and match anything. They're just like, we're just going to do 10 of one stave.
I feel like this worked. Like, I feel this was good. All right, whatever. Guys are good to me.
Oh, we gave it an okay score. 6.583 repeating. I mean, that's a 6.6 basically.
Yeah, 6.583 repeating. I mean, come on. What more could you ask?
What more could you ask, Sedone? You could not ask.
TJ gave FAE01 a higher score than this.
Oh,
rip.
So you're an idiot. That's basically taken away from this. I just don't know how else to comprehend what's happening right now.
All I know.
Barely. 6.5.
So on. My palate is still on.
It was close.
I am going to have a revolt. I'm going to start, you know, after Breaded Month was treated so poorly, I'm going to have my revenge. And that's not a threat. It's a promise.
Thanks, Brendan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're shaking in our boots. All right. So 6.5-ish on our value score. That is Brendan's, you know, undeniable, you know, wildly accurate, you know, metric/scale. You know, I don't know how to give you any more credit, but it's a great rating scale that we have. They can kind of knock down your crappy picks from time to time. That's our review. That's what we think of FAE02. Go check it out. If you can get a bottle of it, I definitely think it's worth trying. If you can find a pour of it, even better, because then you don't have to spend your money on it. All right, we've got a little bit more time before we wrap this up. Like, that was the review. We're done with that. Thank you guys for hanging out. We would love to answer any questions, any thoughts. Come on here. Tell us what you're drinking. Tell us what you want to try. Like, let's get some interaction. If you don't, we're going to be forced to listen to Brendan for like 10 more minutes.
Nobody wants bourbon that. Questions.
So I'll start us off before until anybody requests or sends us a DM or anything. Brendan, what are you drinking after this? Like, you're done with the FAE. What's next up tonight? Same thing for you, Ben, once Brendan's done.
I was thinking of starting to kind of just move through the FAE 02 because I don't want to have this forever as much as I like it. But Ben recently turned me on.
Yes.
To...
Wait, no, no, wait. Just stop the sentence right there. That's all you need to say. Ben to, recently turned me on, yes.
An amazing value, one that I think is worth us exploring. Now, this is a store pick technically, but you know, most of these are going to be store picks. This is Blue Note, which is a sourced bourbon that is finished in a Memphis distillery. Yes. I got mine from Sealbacks. It is a whopping 120 proof, but only $40. That's this right, is baby. Minimum of what? It's a straight, so it's at least 2 years old, but I think it's closer to 4 or 5 years old. Really smooth. Ben, I'll share some of this specific Blue Note with you, but what? How did you even like fall into the Blue Note? Like, how did you discover it?
I was at Gaspers and I was talking to Jimmy. I'm like, hey, let me just try a couple of these store picks you got. And he poured me this Blue Note, and I was attracted to it because I was like, price, $40. Actually, the regular price is $40 for most of your Blue Notes, kind of like uncut juke joint, right? Mm-hmm. But Jimmy only charges $35.99 for his. And so I was like, let me try a taste of this. Anytime you're offering me $36, 120 proof, it's either going to be terrible.
Swill.
Or really good.
Amazing.
And
yes.
I tasted it and I was like, dang, this is freaking great. And every person I've given it to since then has been like, man, this is really good. And I said, that's $36. And they'll say, no, it's not. And I said, it's 120 proof. And they say, no, it's not. And it's incredible. Man, bring the freaking heat with Blue Note. That's amazing. It's the best. Oh my God.
It's impressive. I'd call it impressive.
It would impress most guests.
Okay, well, let's not go crazy there. Depends on the guest. I was not a guest when I tried it, though. So the cool thing about it, too, let me know if you agree with this, Ben. Like, it's got depth and heft and richness because of the proof. But and we're more, like, experienced, I think, than your average bourbon drinker, right? In terms of, like, being able to adjust to proof and deal with it. That 120 doesn't slap, like, overly hard, though. Like, it doesn't.
No.
It's not hot in that sense.
It's all, like... To me, it's all like creme brulee.
Buttery.
Like, yeah, custard. It's so vanilla, so warm, but not a whole lot of like spice and like a lot of barrel. I think it's missing a lot of that because I think it's just a little bit younger, but it's so sweet and easy to drink. Man, it's so good. So good.
And if you are in the Tampa area, if you go to Gas Bars, you can... You mention bourbon on a budget, and that $35 Blue Note becomes a $30 Blue Note. You get $5 off pretty much with anything if you ask for the bourbon on a budget discount, and they will
drop our name
and drop $5.
Ooh, I like it. All right, before Brendan goes, I'm sorry, before Ben goes, Ryan requested to speak. Ryan, how are you doing tonight, bud?
Hey, doing good. How about you guys?
Pretty good. We're all liquored up. So no complaints.
Ryan.
So I was going to ask
Brendan's
you guys,
all gummied up.
What would be your favorite around $100 bottle of bourbon? Not that Brendan's got the Pappies and stuff that no one can even get. I get that. But like in the 90 to 110 range, like what's your go-to? What's your preferred? I know this is bourbon on a budget, so let's keep it kind of budgeted, but.
We broke the budget tonight, so it's all a fair game, Ryan. It's all a fair game right now.
We're excluding allocations, right? Excluding allocated.
Yeah, yes. He said no Pappy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't
know where I'm going.
I don't typically I'll just be very real. I don't typically buy that high. Like I think that when you look at your law of diminishing returns, I don't think the stuff at 100 typically tastes any, if not that much better than the stuff that's like 65 to 85, like your local store picks or stuff in that range, like 1920, 1910, things like that. So I don't buy in that range a lot. And so, like, maybe I'm just kind of like killing time while I'm trying to think, and maybe Ben and Brendan have a really good one.
Yeah, oh, I truly
stick around like that $70 range for mm-hmm. a really good like maker store pick or something like that. Like,
so
I'd rather buy a small
batch select. No, Ben Taylor.
So
Ben's gonna have something better than what TJ was just yammering on. So let Ben.
Yeah,
but an EH Taylor. But yeah, like
TJ
Taylor.
No, let Ben go.
It's like $55 retail. You know, it's like you're asking, like, secondary, 45. Sure, buy it at 100.
Yeah, we're skipping. To me, we're skipping E.H. Taylor. That's not going to happen just because we're talking about that's allocated. I'm going to – I think there's a couple things that TJ says that are correct. That $90 to $110 price range is pretty tough. I'm going to shoot on both sides of those goalposts a little bit. I would say for $85 – I'm buying a barrel Seagrass all day. Get 115 proof. It's triple barrel finished rye. What an incredible bottle. If you have to stay in that 90 to 110, there are plenty of barrel products that are in that 100 or that $90 to $110 range you can go and try. I'm really a fan of the Seagrass. I think it's an incredible bottle for $85. I'm pretty sure that's MSRP. You know, in that range though, you're also going to be comparing that to a Joseph Magnus, and I would probably still lean in the barrel selection. If you want to step up a little bit and go to like the $120 to $140 range, then I'd be looking at, any of the Bardstown Discovery, releases. I've heard series 4 and 6 are great. Series 5 wasn't as on par with that. Those are a little harder to find, not allocated. At least in my opinion, that's not one of those allocated bottles. It's just a little bit more difficult to find. But yeah, most of the bottles that I own are probably in this $55 to $80 range as opposed to the $90 to $100. It's just really difficult for me to drop three figures.
An interesting Venn diagram there, right? Is that, no, it's not, a bell curve. Sorry, I'm trying to be smart. It's a bell curve there.
It's a Venn diagram.
I don't get it. Once you get past the $60 range, Ryan, like, it does change. Like, yeah, the point of diminishing returns does exist there. I love the Seagrass that Ben mentioned. Are you into rye, though, or are you strictly a bourbon guy?
I'm strictly bourbon. I'm not a big rye guy.
So this is, like, if you are trying to transition into it, would be kind of like an okay one because it's finished in three types of different other casks. It kind of mutes the spicy rye, but the bourbon, if I'm not mistaken, right, are you the one who liked Four Roses? Are you the guy who liked Four Roses?
No, I'm the one that loved Four Roses.
Loved Four Roses. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And so,
I mean, even the small barrel or even the small batch select, that's 69, you know, so you're not even approaching that. Yeah. I mean, I love the small batch select. Don't get me wrong. If you can find any of the single barrel strength picks, again, that's allocated. That'd be an easy go-to for me, sure. But mm-hmm. allocated.
If you can find those, it.
Those single barrel strengths, they kind of retail at around 80-ish, 85 with tax. So, I mean, you're still not up there. That $100 range is really tough.
And I was more so just trying to throw the range up there, like if getting away from the whole premise of the show, bourbon on a budget, but going a little bit out of the range without going to the stratosphere.
Crazy.
How about this? Yeah. Here's what you should do. They're not paying us, but ABC has a deal right now that if you buy two Old Forester products, you get $8 off. So buy a 1920 and a 1910.
What a genius idea as a daily drinker this would be.
And mix them.
And
mix them.
Yep.
And that 1915 is the best thing you can buy. Like it's allocated basically. Like it doesn't even exist.
It's not true.
And then you've spent $105 or $115. You spent $107. Got a bunch of points at ABC.
Yep.
That's
at a good price. What about
Ben, you like that move?
I like it because I thought about that as my daily drinker, but everyone said it was a stupid idea, but it's a genius idea because it came from me.
So was your Blue Note. What are your guys' thoughts? So in Tallahassee, within the last couple of days, there is a Booker's bourbon. I really like Booker's. Just the issue has become harder to find, and the price has gone up. So there's one at the ABC off Appalachie. It was at $109, which to me seems about $20 too high. But if you really want to try a Booker's and you want to get your ABC points up, would that be something you would recommend to Ryan potentially?
I would do it. If it's at ABC, that's MSRP, so I don't feel bad about anything they sell there. Like, they're not jacking prices up.
Yeah.
So I don't feel bad. Like, it could have just raised up a little bit, like, in cost. So, yeah, I'd do that. Elliot just tagged us in a picture.
Yeah.
So those that, you know Elliot, he's been on the show, works over at FSU. He just tagged us in a picture of the new Dickold, Leopold Bros.
Yeah, that's at ABC right now.
I saw those, yeah.
It's $120 or $110,
yeah. $115, somewhere around there. So that might not be a bad one. I've never tried that, though, so I'm not recommending you go buy that because if it sucks, I don't want you to have to go beat Brendan up for my bad
story. I know. Dickel product really scares me.
Yeah, Dickel would be hit or miss.
Even though Juke or Blue Note 17 is Dickel, but older Dickel is just not my my favorite.
Very true. And then follow-up question to that, and I know, Ben, this will hit close to your heart. Where are y'all gonna go on your bourbon trail for the Louisville game?
Oh, we were just talking about it today. Oh man, I'm so excited. What are our big ones we want to hit? Ben and I drove up to ABC together today. For those that don't know, we're not weird. Like, he lives five doors down from me. A little bit.
We are weird though. Yeah.
But Ben, what are the places we talked about going? Like the must.
But is Ben going to the game?
Ben might not go to the game.
We don't even know.
He went to the Notre Dame game. Wasn't such good look. So we'll see if we let him in the loop.
Hold on. What happened was TJ was like, hey, do you want to go to a game with me? And I was like, dude, that sounds amazing. And then we get to the game, and he's like, oh, I'm in the press box. And I was like, not a problem. I can sit up there. Not a big deal. Like, I only have one ticket for me. And I was like, oh. So I'll just sit.
TJ's an awful friend.
You sat with everybody, Johnny. You sat with Johnny. You didn't sit by yourself.
Who is also in town to go to the game with you.
Is Johnny the one who gives us all the bourbon?
No.
That's Jake.
Jake, Johnny. Jake,
Joe, Johnny, everybody, you know. Jelliot, John.
Jelliot.
Giant.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know if I'm going to go to the game yet. We'll see. But
he's definitely going to Louisville.
Yeah, definitely going to the game, or the weekend. So the four that I have on my, like, I really want to do would be Buffalo, Four Roses, Michter's, and Old Forester. Those are like the four that I'd be really interested in. As a fifth, I also would like to see Bardstown. I've heard their facility is incredible. I don't have much experience. Like, this is my first time going up to the trail, so I'm more looking for like suggestions. If we have anyone that's like, hey, I've done this like five or six times, and we know all the hot spots to go and when to hit them, let me know. I'd be really interested in kind of getting your perspective on it. But those are the four that I'm like, I really would like to see these distilleries.
You got a message about Lux Row as well. Would not be a bad one for sure. So
take all the Blood Orphan or whatever it is, or Blood Orphan, throw it in the river.
Blood Orphan. Awesome.
Throw those in the river.
Ryan, you going up to the game?
No, sir. No, don't travel for the games.
I really usually don't either, but it'd be an in those
games.
That's
like,
kind
like
of
seeing them.
That's kind of the one I've got
to
do.
No, but it would be cool to get up there to do the Bourbon Trail. That'd make it worth the while. Even if
I'm going more for that than the game, just for what it's worth. All right, Charles Glenn asked in our DMs. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you for joining us last week. This week. Weird question, but I'm a person with medical stomach issues, but a huge whiskey lover. Is there anything y'all can recommend that is easier on the stomach? Thanks. Cheers, guys.
That's a toughie.
That's a tough one. Ryan's a full-time pharmacist. Ryan, do you have any thoughts on that? Like, since you're a medical professional, can you come back in here and answer that? Like, what does he drink if he's got – I don't know what stomach issues he has.
What was the question again?
I forgot to – oh, weird question, but I'm a person with medical stomach issues, but a huge whiskey lover. Is there anything you can recommend that is easier on the stomach? I would just guess lower proof stuff. Like that's, I'm not a medical professional, so don't take my advice here.
Yeah, that's Yeah, he'd really have to provide more information on what stomach issues meant, because that could be a whole handful of things. So, yeah, you're going to have to pass on giving a recommendation there.
Ben, in your advice, yeah. What would you say? Since you're not
my advice, I would try maybe nosing only. Don't drink it. You could try.
Spit it out, like you're doing wine tasting.
Just smelling it. Yeah, you can just smell it and do wine tasting. There you go. It's the move.
It does help me. So when we do these I think it's something's 40% alcohol or 50% alcohol. I don't know if it's going to make a huge difference if you're having stomach issues. Try not to have it later at night. When we have it later at night, it just sits in your stomach and just makes me feel worse in the morning. Like if I had a pour at dinner time or something like that. So maybe
consult a doctor.
Just drink at around noon, I think, is
maybe day the, drink. The play. That's your
day drink. Is a
day drink is the play.
Day drink is the way to fix everything.
I have severe issues with my stomach.
I think Ryan agreed with us too medically. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Yeah. He's a doctor. Drink all the time. Just never stop, and then you won't feel it. What is everyone's Ben, Brendan, myself? It's IBS. If that helps your judgment, Ryan.
Drinking on the toilet.
Letting all of this info out there, huh?
I mean, I'm not going to say who asked it.
Oh, my God.
You did at the beginning of the question.
I didn't say who the name was. I don't think so. No, I just said we got to quiet. Did I say it alone? Oh, whatever.
No one knows.
I don't think so.
You ratted out Nick Saban. Jeez.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Coach Norvell. Somebody asked, what's your favorite bourbon? Like, do you have just a favorite accessible bourbon that people could go pick up right now? Do your favorite ever, because like nobody's gonna be able to find that. But like, what's your favorite, like one thing that's at ABC right now that you would recommend people to go get?
Ben, you go first.
Jeez. 1920. That's such a solid.
Stop stealing my stuff.
Isn't that like that's just the quintessential go grab this bottle. Most of my other stuff are just store picks. But I was at ABC today, and ABC has two High West store picks right now. That I was like, this is great. That's just available on the shelf. They also had WB Saffel on the shelf, and I thought that was pretty cool. So
I got you. Anyway. Sent you guys down a sample of the WB Saffel for you to try and see if you like
it. I drank it while Kara drove home the other day.
How was that?
It
was
what great. An expensive bottle.
She's a lucky woman. But it's a cool little bottle.
$375.
Ugh. $375 for $50.
I'm going with a 1910. I'll answer with a 1910. If you're newer into bourbon and you're asking that question, you probably can't go for the 115 proof that Ben just mentioned. So go with a slightly easier drinker, 1910. Brendan, what you got?
1920 was going to be mine. I do call shenanigans on Ben. He picked Wild Turkey Rare Breed over 1920 and our King of the Hill. So
Rare Breed, also amazing.
Shenanigans.
And cheaper. Yeah. Rare Breed Bourbon by Wild Turkey would be a good one.
1920 is so good because it's like it's 115 proof, but it's a great like gateway into full proof, higher proof bourbon because it's got this nice rich mouth feel and just super sweet and smoky and delicious. It's awesome.
All right, do you guys have anything else? You guys good for today?
Yeah, this was fun.
All right, any other questions? Going once, going twice.
Sold.
This will come out on Thursday, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever. So check us out. Subscribe to us on YouTube. If you're not already, shoot us a follow here on Bourbon on a Budget. We're going to continue to do these whiskey spaces, bourbon spaces. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. We got Logan in here. Logan, you almost cut me off with my plugs, but shoot us a follow if you're not already. We're going to continue to do these. We'd love to chat bourbon with you, chat whiskey with you, and answer any questions you guys have. We are not experts by any mean, but Brendan is, so we just lean on him. Logan, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. How are you guys doing?
Good. Logan's good. In there. Did you know Logan's in Kentucky? Logan's going to be there. Logan, you're coming to the tailgate, all the stuff we do there in Kentucky, correct?
Yes, absolutely. We will.
Ben needs somebody to sit with for the game, so I'll just need trying to pizzle you in.
Yeah, I'm gonna be alone.
No, yeah, we
sitting outside the stadium.
We've got friends and family in Bowling Green and Louisville, so I will do my best to play host and do the Southern hospitality thing. The worst part of
just let us know where the potluck is. That's all I care about.
Oh yeah,
let me know where the potluck is.
Oh yeah, The worst thing about going to a game at Louisville is how nice the fans are. They are so overly nice, and it's exhausting. It's that, like, ultimate kill you with kindness. So I was at that Florida State debacle, 63-20 game, back when Lamar Jackson was there. And, you know, the whole game, maybe they can come back, you know, blah, blah, blah. So if we can get through that, if we can get through a win this year, it'd be great. But anyway, onto the bourbon. Where would you guys recommend – which state would you say outside of Kentucky has the best bourbon? Because I've always been a Kentucky loyalist, but I've been considering lately trying an out-of-state bourbon.
Tennessee? So,
that's
so
a great question.
So, what state makes the best juice, basically, right? We're not talking about, like, purchasing or where to find it. We're talking about who makes the best stuff, right?
Yeah, like, ingredients, you know, this overall composition. I've seen some stuff out of Texas and Indiana here lately, but I just can't pull the trigger. You know, I just default to a Kentucky bourbon every time, so.
I mean, Indiana's going to be your MGP, right? So that's going to be
a lot of sources.
One of the larger producers mm-hmm. That puts out pretty good product.
And Starlight's from Indiana, Ben. I don't know if you have any Starlight stuff, but they're a craft distillery and they're doing really, really cool stuff. Yeah. So there's a couple of good ones.
To me, you know, the easier answer would be like going to Tennessee, right? But if I'm looking to depart a little bit from Kentucky and go somewhere else, I feel like I'd be going to Texas. Like, Texas has a lot of, like, bigger producers. They're going to be pretty distinctly Texas, though. You know, there's, Garrison Brothers. We just did a whole entire show on Balcones. And there's also, like, this other distiller guy. It's, like, TX. I've seen a couple of their products. Mm-hmm. Also, the Whiskey Tribe guys are out there as well. So if I'm going to go and travel and be like, hey, I want to go grab some whiskey from another state, you might as well go to Texas.
I'm going Utah. I'm going Park City, Utah. I'm going High West over anything else. That, like, their one distillery.
That's the only thing out there.
It doesn't matter. At all. It's better than any other one distillery in another state. Unless you're going Jack Daniels.
So one other that's sneaky, and it's not going to be bourbon, quote unquote, but it is American whiskey that does a really good job. Stranahan in Colorado does an amazing job, but they also have Spirit Hound in Colorado.
Laws. You have Breckenridge.
There's four or five.
It's like 17 or like 1962 or something. There's four letters out there. Four numbers.
A tall bottle. Tin Cup, technically, which I don't love Tin Cup, but you know, it's solid for the price point.
But if you added all of those together, would it be as good as High West?
I'm going to Texas.
I'm going High West.
That's, I mean, you just picked a distillery that sources stuff, basically. And they do a great job sourcing it, but...
But it's better whiskey than any of those other ones.
I don't know. Garrison, Balcones.
Where's Horse Soldier out of?
Florida, St. Pete area.
Horse Soldier's out of Ohio.
Yeah, oh, they just bottle in Florida, I think.
Oh,
like,
they have the restaurant in St. Pete.
Yeah, I don't think most of their distillation is here.
That makes sense.
I could be wrong.
No, you're probably right. Actually, I know you're right now that I remember their story. You're for sure correct.
I'm a genius.
Do you know what we say about Ohio and Kentucky?
They wish it was Kentucky.
We say the best thing to come out of Ohio is 75 South.
Take that, Ohio.
You get it, Brendan?
That's an interstate, Brendan.
Going, yeah, to Kentucky, right?
To Florida. Down to Florida.
Oh, that's by where you guys live.
Oh, my gosh, Brendan. The worst of this. All right. Logan, thank you for putting up with us, Logan.
Thank y'all for the different opinions. That just means I have more bourbons to try, so I appreciate it.
For sure. Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on and hanging out. Can't wait
to help you spend more on whiskey. That's what we do.
Yeah, can't wait to hang out in September. You coming down for do you come down at all? Will you come down for the spring game? We'll do some bourbon shots.
So my fiance and I, we're going to be down for most likely, as long as we don't have too many vacations this year, LSU game in New Orleans. Oh. We do Florida State every year because I'm attached to a Gator fan, sadly. But and then we'll probably make the Louisville game this year if I can swing it. So if any, but if I can't do that, I will certainly Bourbon Trail or dinner somewhere in Kentucky, meet up with you guys. Y'all are open to that.
Love it.
Yeah. No, we're definitely down. Definitely be a good time. And if you make those three games, that sounds like 3-0 for FSU for me. So I like that too. LSU, Florida, Louisville. Those are three easy wins, in my opinion. So, all right, Ben, do you have any shout outs before we get out of here? Brendan, you got anything, or you guys just want to wrap it up and call it a night?
I want to give a shout out.
I got a shout out real quick. Shout out to TJ for not recording the video of this and basically ruining the entire evening.
Shout out.
You're dead to me.
Shout out to Taconic that I still have some of because I drank a bunch of Brendan's and mine's not out yet. I'm enjoying that tonight. So, Brendan, suck it. All right, we'll be back. We'll do another one of these spaces. This, again, will come out in audio format. Look us up on social media, anywhere that's not Twitter, and all of your favorite podcast providers. It's Bourbon on a Budget. We appreciate you for hanging out. Until next time, cheers.
Good job, TJ. Appreciate that. That was awesome.